for the right guy, all you're gonna have to do is exist. Thank you.
Welcome back to the channel, fellas. Today, we're talking about a massive wake-up call that's shaking things up. Women are finally realizing that more and more men are walking away from the dreaded friend zone. Yep, the days of men waiting endlessly for crumbs of attention are coming to an end, and it's sparking outrage and confusion. What's driving this shift? And why are so many women now scrambling to understand what went wrong? Stick around as we unpack the trends, the lessons, and the hard truths behind this growing movement. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more eye-opening discussions.
What pisses me off is the discourse around how women only go for the top 15% of men. Like, am I supposed to be going for the fat loser who doesn't have a job and lives at home? Am I supposed to be attracted to that? Obviously, I'm going to be attracted to the guy who's ambitious, the guy who's manly, the guy who takes care of himself and his health and works out, the guy who's tall, the guy who's going to give my kids good genetics. Why on earth would I be attracted to the fat loser? Or any loser for that matter. Even an average guy, like why, if I could pick the best of the best, why would I be attracted to the mid-tier? Like, hello. Especially if I'm a top quality girl. What happened to earning your place in this world? You're gonna be a loser in this life and then expect people to want you? Like, that's just common sense that that's not going to happen. Like, if I was fat and ugly, I would not be surprised that men are not going for me and instead they want the girls who are fit and beautiful. Like, I didn't earn to be on their level. I didn't earn to be wanted like that. So maybe instead of complaining that women only want the top 15%, work on becoming top 15% or somewhere near that number. Instead of sitting at home being a loser, trying to be a little victim.
Here's the thing. Wanting the best is one thing, but thinking you deserve the best just because you exist? That's the issue. There's a difference between having standards and having unrealistic expectations. Let's call it what it is. A lot of modern women believe they're in the top 15% of the dating pool without ever stopping to ask, what am I bringing to the table that matches what I expect? Confidence is great, but confidence doesn't automatically make you a 10. Being desirable isn't about how loudly you proclaim your worth. It's about how your actions, mindset, and values align with what you're looking for in a partner. The truth? If you're out here expecting a man who's in the top 15%, whether that's looks, money, success, or all of the above, you need to be in that same bracket yourself. And let's not sugarcoat it. A lot of the women with this attitude aren't even close. It's not about being rude. It's about being real. Extreme feminism has played a role in this, hyping up this, you're a queen no matter what, narrative while ignoring the reality that relationships are a two-way street. Sure, self-love is important, but lying to yourself about where you stand doesn't help anyone. Expecting someone else to bring everything to the table while you sit back and reap the benefits? That's not empowerment, that's entitlement. If you're an average person, and most people are, by definition, there's nothing wrong with that. But stop expecting someone from the top tier to come sweep you off your feet when you're not willing or able to meet them at their level. Relationships require effort, reciprocity, and a reality check. It's time to ditch the delusion and focus on what you can bring to the table. Not just what you expect to take from it. Because here's the harsh reality. The men in that top 15%, they have options, and they're not chasing someone who doesn't even recognize their own place in the dating world.
I am single at 31, and that is definitely not something I ever thought I would be saying. When I was younger, that I would be married with kids, I'd have my house. At 31, and instead my partner of 4 years and I have decided to go separate ways. I have moved back to Sydney in with my parents, semi-treated like a 14-year-old, that they forgot that I, well, at least my mum has forgotten that I know how to live. And honestly, it feels embarrassing. You know, the first thing I think of is being 31 and so many of my friends are in happy relationships with kids, they're engaged, they're married, and I'm like, cool. Obviously so happy for them, but then I look at myself and I'm like, wow, I'm just not where I thought I would be. And it's certainly a hard pill to swallow, like a really, really hard pill to swallow, especially moving into my parents' house. You know, like my room is the same as it was when I was like 18 years old. I want to find my own place, but Sydney rentals are ridiculous at the moment. And I'm like, I can't afford to spend $600 to $900 a week on rent. Plus, I also think I want to go traveling and live between like Sydney, Melbourne, LA, and London. Waiting for the part where I get excited about life and my next chapter, because that one closed and decision we made, but like, you know, I think it's the right one. And that's the thing, you never know if it is the right decision or not. I just want people to know they're not alone. You know, if you're 31 and recently single, if you're in your 30s recently single, if you're like in your like 20s and recently single, like, I'm right there with you. I feel you. And you know what? Let's share this journey together, because I need an outlet. Otherwise, I will probably just go insane. So, single and 31. Here we go.
Here's the thing. She's 31, single, living back with her parents, and reflecting on her younger dreams of kids and a house of her own. Let's be honest. This is a situation that didn't just happen to her. It's a result of choices, priorities, and unfortunately, the belief that time was on her side forever. A lot of women have been sold the idea that they can put everything off until later and that there will always be someone waiting. The career, the travel, the fun. It all came first, while building something meaningful with a partner got pushed to the back burner. Now, later has arrived, and the reality is hitting hard. The options aren't the same anymore. At 31, she's finding herself back at square one, and here's the truth. It's not because of bad luck or circumstances outside her control. It's because of decisions made along the way. Women who prioritize independence over partnership for years often realize too late that those things don't just magically fall into place when they're ready. Let's also talk about the expectations many women have when it comes to relationships. A lot of them hold out for the perfect partner, someone who checks every box, while overlooking good, solid men who would have built a life with them. Instead of appreciating what they have, they're chasing an ideal, and by the time they're ready to settle, the opportunities have dwindled. This isn't about blaming society or men. It's about accountability. Women have been told they can have it all without compromise. But the truth is, every choice comes with trade-offs. You can't spend your 20s living your best life and then expect everything to fall into place just because you've decided it's time. Life doesn't work like that. So here she is, back at her parents' apartment, reflecting on what could have been. The harsh reality? It's a situation she created for herself. Dreams of kids and a house don't just materialize. They take effort, planning, and the right mindset early on. And until women start owning that truth, stories like hers will keep repeating.
All right, in another episode of Why Am I Crying on TikTok? God is so good. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm 31 and I don't feel like I'm necessarily old enough to be giving real advice, but I would like to say this if you're in your 20s. It is so fucking important you realize that your 20s are not old. My God, please. 23, not old. 25, not old. 28, not old. You have so much time. And the one thing that I wish I could do differently is not think I was fucking old when I wasn't. I thought I had no more time at 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Every one of those are fucking ages. I thought it was too late. And now I'm 31. And I'm not going to say I haven't tried to do the things I want to do in my life and I haven't succeeded in some things. I have. Like, I have, and I'm proud of myself for a lot of things. But there are some things that I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was too old 10 years ago. You need to realize you have so much fucking time. Whatever you want to do, do it. I don't care who you have to leave behind in your life. They will come back or someone new will come. I have met some of my favorite people in this world this year at 30, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. Some 10 years ago, right? You are going to continue to meet new people. You are going to continue to have new love, new relationships, new jobs, new opportunities. You are not too old. That's what I have to say on that. La, la, la. And also, if someone could yell that at me now, that would be great. Thank you.
Here's the thing. Deep down, these women know the truth. They just won't admit it. The biological clock waits for no one. And the longer they delay, the more their options change. But instead of confronting this reality, many are stuck on this misguided narrative that they have time, wasting it on the Chads of the world who have zero intention of building a future with them. And here's the harsh reality. After years of chasing the excitement and thrill of bad boys, They somehow expect to still be the top choice for high-value men when they're ready to settle down. But let's be real. Men aren't lining up for women who've been ran through and treated commitment like an afterthought. The truth is, many women are playing a dangerous game, betting on time they don't have and ignoring the consequences until it's too late. They spend their prime years chasing men who don't value them and then turn around expecting stable, committed men to swoop in and save the day. Life doesn't work like that. High-value men, those who want serious relationships and commitment, are looking for women who prioritize loyalty, respect, and shared goals, not someone coming off years of bad decisions and regret. And the frustrating part? These women know this. They know the window of opportunity isn't infinite. They know actions have consequences. Yet, instead of taking accountability, they double down on the delusion that they'll always have options. Here's the truth. You can't waste years on temporary thrills and then expect permanent results. If you want something meaningful, you have to act like it early on. Because once the reality sets in, it's often too late. And by then, the only person left to blame is yourself.
Being single in my 30s is kind of amazing. The life experience, not that 30s is old, but having been through multiple relationships and learned about myself and what I like and what I don't like and what I want and what I don't want. With age comes more confidence and assertiveness, at least for me. Whereas in the past, I would start dating somebody, I would put them up on a pedestal and give them all the power in the relationship, where it was going to go, if we were together, not together. And something that I learned is I have a say in a relationship. I'm one half of a relationship and I can decide if I want to be in it or not. I feel like I'm in my 20s, but with money and life experience and confidence and peace where I'm fine being alone. But if you enhance my life in some way, then that's great.
Here's the thing. It's honestly embarrassing that it takes multiple dates, failed relationships, and sometimes even hitting the wall for some women to finally figure out what they want, or worse, what they don't want. How does it take this much trial and error to figure out the basics? When you're out here going from one guy to another, treating every relationship like a test drive, it's no wonder people start questioning what you've been doing all these years. The lack of direction, accountability, and self-awareness is mind-boggling. Let's be real. A lot of women waste their prime years chasing excitement, keeping their options open, and convincing themselves that they have forever to figure it all out. Then, when reality sets in and their dating pool shrinks, they suddenly want to get serious. But by then, they're not in the position to demand the kind of man they spent years ignoring. What's frustrating is that these women act like they're victims of bad luck when, in reality, they've been making poor choices and overlooking good men. You can't spend your 20s just figuring things out and then turn around in your 30s, expecting the world to owe you a fairy tale ending. Life doesn't work that way. The truth is, the men these women are now looking for, the stable, high-value, commitment-ready ones, already settled down with women who knew what they wanted from the start. It's not bad luck. It's just the consequences of their decisions. So, if you've hit the wall and are still out here on the dating scene, maybe it's time to reflect on your priorities instead of blaming men or the universe for your situation. It's not the dating market that's broken. It's the approach. And by the time you figure it out, the reality is that it's often too late to play catch up. Harsh, but true.
So I matched with this guy on Bumble. I gave him my number and he texted me on Halloween, the day of Halloween. He's like, "Do you want to come over later for a drink? I live on the blah 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 area." I was like, "Sorry, I already have plans today. Can we do some other day, maybe next week?" So then we agreed to go out next Wednesday, and when the day comes, I was like, "So where should we meet?" And again, he sent me a bar, an Irish bar in his neighborhood, and I'm like, "So like, I live not really close to his neighborhood, and I just didn't want to travel, to be honest, to his neighborhood." So I was like, "Actually, do you mind if we find a place in another area? Like, it's kind of like the middle ground for us, right?" So I was like, "Do you mind if we find a spot near that area?" This man left me on red for a whole night and then responded me being, "Sorry, thought about it a bit more and not in the headspace for something super serious right now. I'd do a drink near my place if you're down, but also get if that's not your vibe." Sir, I'm not looking for anything serious, but what's not my vibe is I'm not in a delivery service. I'm not in the delivery service, especially for my body, for my coochie. Like, I'm not just gonna do that. You think I'm just gonna deliver myself to your neighborhood for a drink in an Irish pub and then... Are you out of your fucking mind? I swear the audacity of these men is truly unmatched. I don't even want to waste my brain cells to come up with a nickname for this man. I'll just call him Robbie.
Here's the thing. She's mad because a guy she met on a dating app invited her over to his place, and then has the nerve to say she's not in the delivery service? Let's break this down. Who's actually setting the standard here? Here's the harsh truth. Men do what works. If inviting someone over right off the bat is getting results, and let's be honest, it does, why would they change the approach? Women who complain about this are often the same ones who enable it by continuing to engage with these types of guys. You're not in the delivery service? Cool, but plenty of women apparently are, and that's why the behavior keeps happening. The dating app culture thrives on convenience and low effort. Swipe, chat, invite over. And while not every woman goes for it, enough do to create a system where men know they don't have to put in extra effort to get what they want. If you want more respect, demand it. Stop entertaining these offers if you're truly looking for something meaningful. But here's the kicker. A lot of women claim they want effort, but when a guy does put in effort, they'll call him too much or desperate. The same ones who complain about being treated like an option are often the ones rewarding the low-effort moves. So, who's really setting the bar here? If you want to shift the dynamic, it starts with accountability. Stop blaming men for doing what works and start questioning why so many women allow it. Until that happens, this cycle will just keep repeating. Don't like being treated like a delivery service? Then stop signing up for the gig.
All of your problems would literally be solved if you just stopped sleeping with men. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You will stop being frustrated, upset with yourself, upset with the world, upset with your circumstances if you just stop sleeping with men. Because if something doesn't work out, if something doesn't go your way, you're not going to be in this suspended state of depression and anxiety and low self-worth because you didn't give away your most valuable asset physically, biologically, spiritually, emotionally, like in every single way.
Here's the thing. She's out here telling women to stop sleeping with men, as if that's the magical solution to all of their problems. But let's be honest, the issue isn't men. It's the choices women are making. The problem isn't that men exist. It's that some women keep giving access to the wrong men while simultaneously blaming all men for their bad experiences. If women are constantly picking guys who don't respect them, treat them poorly, or disappear after getting what they want, the common denominator is the choices being made. And let's not forget, these same women often reject the good guys, the ones who are genuinely interested in building something real. Why? Because they're too nice, boring, or don't give them the same adrenaline rush as the toxic guys they seem to prefer. So now we're at a point where women are advising other women to stop sleeping with men altogether, instead of advising them to, I don't know, choose better men in the first place. Here's the real kicker. If you're unhappy with your dating life, it's not because men are inherently the problem. It's because some women keep rewarding low-effort behavior, ignoring red flags, and then acting surprised when things don't work out. It's not about abstinence. It's about accountability. So maybe, just maybe, instead of telling women to stop sleeping with men, they should focus on raising their standards, making better decisions, and taking responsibility for their role in the dating game. Because the truth is, you can't blame all men for the consequences of your own choices.
This is why I think pretty girls are some of the most loyal girls. This is something guys don't understand. Pretty girls are used to attention, especially if they've been pretty their whole lives. Attention is like nothing new. A guy hitting on them is nothing new. A guy offering them things is nothing new. They have their pick of the litter. They can get someone at any time. So if they're choosing a guy, he won. Some other guy hitting on her is not going to turn her head. If she wanted her head turned, she could get that at any point. Just trust me, the attention does not stop just because she's in a relationship. What I'm trying to reiterate is that it's nothing special. So nobody stands out. The only person that stands out is the person she picks, and then her eyes are set on him. She doesn't search for external validation. She doesn't need it, especially not from men. She's been getting it her whole life. She always has it. That's kind of just true for anything. Like, you have something, a lot of it, it's not that special anymore. There's a new tier of the things that you need from people. And attention is just, that doesn't cut it anymore. She just wants love. I'd be more scared of the girls who grew up ugly and then grew up. Internally, sometimes that trauma doesn't go away. And even if externally they're very pretty, in their head, they're still seeing themselves as that ugly girl. And external validation feeds that void and insecurity that she doesn't know how to fill. With those girls, there's a chance their heads might turn.
Here's the thing. She's out here claiming that pretty girls are the most loyal girls in the world. But let's not get it twisted. Loyalty isn't about looks. It's about character. Loyalty is a choice, and that choice is made by the individual, regardless of how pretty or ugly they are. The real issue here isn't beauty, it's accountability. At the end of the day, women choose who they want to stay loyal to, as she said herself. And if someone keeps bouncing from one bad relationship to the next, or conveniently decides loyalty isn't worth it when things get tough, that's on them. This whole pretty girls are the most loyal idea is just a deflection. Loyalty doesn't come from being attractive. It comes from values, principles, and respect. If loyalty is so selective, maybe the problem isn't men or circumstances. Maybe it's about who they're choosing to stay loyal to. And let's not forget, loyalty goes both ways. If a woman is only loyal to someone when it's convenient, beneficial, or matches her feelings in the moment, then that's not loyalty. It's selfishness disguised as commitment. So instead of trying to tie loyalty to physical appearance, let's just call it what it is, a choice. And if some women are making bad choices about who they stay loyal to, or can't uphold loyalty consistently, that's not on men, society, or anyone else. That's solely on them.
So I just found out that I'm not hot, and this was based on a really humbling experience where I'm trying to get four men together to help me move a really heavy object from point A to point B. I've tried for days, texting every man I know, can you please come help me move this heavy thing? It's a piece of granite, by the way. Because what I need is a piece of granite moved about 15 feet. Cannot gather four men to do that. Oh, I can't. I'm going to be hung over that day. Oh, I can't. Football is on. Wah. Number one, they don't make men like they used to, because how come nobody wants to be helpful? Little helpless old me? You want me to pick up the granite slab? Why? You're not being helpful. Number two, I need to level up. I need to level up. I need to get hotter.
The more she talked, the worse it got. You mad because men don't want to be used anymore? That's actually crazy. That whole time you talking, I didn't hear about you offering them a pizza, a beverage, a beer, nothing. Just little old you, right? They're not getting nothing out of it. You ain't they lady. You most likely not even they friends. You probably only hit them up when you actually need something like this done and they got tired of it. Call a moving company. And you keep talking about, well, you're not being helpful. Why do they have to help you? Do you cook for them? Do you ask them how they're doing? Did you offer anything? Do you even reply to their text messages? Are these just guys you got in the friend zone? You probably don't do nothing for them at all. But you expect them to come out during your time of need to help you lift something heavy with four other dudes that they don't even know. This is the most narcissistic post I've seen all year. This is hilarious.
Here's the thing. She's strong, independent, and doesn't need a man. Until it's time to carry a 200-pound granite slab, and suddenly she's looking around for a man to help. Where's that grizzly bear she claims to roll with? Oh, right. It doesn't exist. Here's the reality. Men aren't here to be tools for convenience. For years, some women have been screaming about how they don't need men, how they can do everything themselves. Fine, live your truth. But you can't then turn around and expect men to step up whenever there's heavy lifting involved, both literally and figuratively. The problem is, a lot of modern men are waking up to this. We've grown tired of being used as walking toolkits and free labor. If you're truly independent, act like it. Don't wave the flag of, I don't need no man in one breath, and then come running for help the moment something gets hard. This is exactly why men are stepping back. It's not about being bitter or angry. It's about setting boundaries. We don't want to be used for convenience and then discarded when it doesn't suit you anymore. You can't have it both ways. Either you're strong and independent or you're not. So, no, we're not carrying the granite slab anymore. Call the grizzly bear. Good luck with that.